The Senate has spoken. They have voted that it is constitutional to move forward with this impeachment trial. I just want to know, what is this setting for precedent? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. And my goodness, get ready, because the circus has come to town again in Washington, D.C. Six Republican senators joining Democrats in voting to continue the trial. The vote was 56 to 54. You had Senator Collins of Maine, Cassidy of Louisiana, Murkowski of Alaska, Romney of Utah, Sass of Nebraska, and Toomey of Pennsylvania, all endorsing the trial against former President Trump as constitutional. Now, I just wonder about this, in that you're talking about going forward with an impeachment trial for a president who's no longer in office. What does this tell us about our future, right? If we're this divided politically, by the way, don't kid yourself. This is all about dividing the Republican Party. I'm going to get to that in a second. But really, on its surface, let's just talk about precedent. What does this mean for the future? Does this mean you could go after anyone you want to go after that formerly held office? I mean, banana republic, here we come, right? I'm beginning to say, wait, do we live in Brazil? Or is this United States of America? Because in places like Brazil, that's where they do this kind of thing, not in the United States of America. Anyway, here we are. Here we are. The whole episode, the whole partisanshipness of all of this has just spoken to me in ways that feel very banana republic-esque. And I question what it will mean for future presidents. I mean, could you go back and impeach Bill Clinton again? Could you go back and go after Nikki Haley as governor and say, well, you know, we don't want her running for president, so maybe we go after her for her past deeds? I mean, you just have to think about this within the context of the future, right? Not just in the here and now. And that's, unfortunately, when you're so broken down as a nation into these political entities, left or right, such extremes, nobody's really thinking clearly. Nobody's seeing things in terms of what they are in the here or now. So we ought to be thinking about the precedent, surely. But then the other thing that we need to be thinking about is, what is this going to do to the country? Again, as I said, don't kid yourselves. It's not like they really want to do this because they think that they're taking some kind of moral high road here, that this is the high ground. No, I mean, they like to pretend that. But I think they know. And by they, I mean the Democrats. I mean Nancy Pelosi. I mean Chuck Schumer. And I mean the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, who has the power to stop all this but won't. Right? The Democrat Party has made a decision. They figured this is an opportunity to really divide and conquer. You see now, there's a study that says 52% of Americans, this is a Gallup poll, are actually in favor of convicting the president. So they're walking away with these statistics in their head saying, okay, 52% are actually in favor of this. So maybe if we can get the Republicans to divide, as you've seen, right, with what's going on with Cheney and what's going on with other members of Congress, you've got the people in Congress that voted for impeachment, and they're really being tarred and feathered. So this division, constant division, right, within the party. And that's what I don't like right now. I mean, in some ways, I'd like to see the Republicans actually stand up for themselves against this machine that wants to rail against them over and over and over again. And that's what this is going to be all about. So get ready. The circus has come to town. They got a big, big tent. It's come one, come all. You know, they're selling tickets. This is the hottest game ticket in town, and I fear it's going to have devastating, devastating consequences coming up, everyone. Already, these consequences are starting to seep into our society. You look at what the WHO just came out. WHO says, oh, you know, it wasn't China's fault. Maybe it was Italy that we all are dealing with COVID-19 right now. I've got that story for you next. The World Health Organization, together with the Chinese, is making a total joke out of the United States, and the Biden administration is laughing, I don't know, what, all the way in the bank? Oh, careful, I'm not supposed to say that, but you know where I'm going, right? What the heck is going on? Why are we cozying up to the WHO right now when the WHO is saying not China's fault. Hey, maybe it was Italy's fault. Maybe it was the frozen food section of the grocery store's fault. Seriously. Okay, welcome back. Make sure you go to TrishIntel.com, TrishIntel.com, where you can sign up for my daily emails. You can make sure that you're downloading and subscribing to this podcast because somebody has to speak the truth right now when the circus is going on. Included in that circus, I put the WHO and China. So you have this joint study, right? Funded by the Chinese. And they've got all this investigation stuff that's going on into COVID. And the moral of the story they want us to know is it didn't come from a Chinese lab. You know, then again, they're not ruling out the possibility of a lab leak. Nonetheless, the panel says they're not going to be investigating this at any additional time, right? So the theory they're saying is out the window, and I think we know why. We know why because we know who's funding the study. I mean, this is pretty easy to see, you know, and it's actually in direct contrast to what the State Department reported in January. Remember when the State Department said that the U.S. government has reason to believe that researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology came down with COVID-19 symptoms prior to the first known cases of the outbreak. But no, China's not buying that. No. In fact, the Chinese Health Commission spokesperson spoke today saying that he's been in abundant communication with the WHO director throughout this investigation. Talking about rigging the outcome, right? So again, long story short, nothing to see here. China's not at fault. How dare anybody ever suggest that it might have been? You know, they say it couldn't possibly have happened with a lab leak because there were no known studies going on of this virus at the time. Well, except that there were, right? A top Wuhan Institute of Virology researcher, she contributed to a February 2020 study that reported that SARS-CoV-2 was 96.2% identical to a viral strain that was detected in horseshoe bats from the Yunnan province. But hey, you know, evidence doesn't matter in China, I guess. So instead of pursuing that lab leak theory, the panel's going to devote all future resources into these other theories. These are great as to how this virus entered the human population. Theory number one, frozen food from overseas, nonetheless, not even domestic frozen food, foreign frozen food, that is, right? Not just any frozen food. Anyway, so the frozen food, they say, may have contained the virus. And theory number two, there may have been a direct zoonotic spillover from bats to humans or some other species. Or number three, it was Italy's fault. It seems to be China's favorite. It was either Italy's fault or it was the frozen food aisle. You see, the Chinese government wants to believe that this was imported into China. Couldn't have been their problem, right? Because there's a lot of liability that goes with it. Don't forget. There's a lot of liability in terms of Xi Jinping and his allowance of people to travel in and out of the country at a time when he knew this was going on. And so there's incentive for the Chinese to point the finger at someone else. And that is exactly what they are doing. So I just question, why are our taxpayer dollars going to fund this thing, right? Why is Joe so anxious to get back into it? It's a worthwhile question. I don't think this administration has any clue what to do with our taxpayer dollars. Speaking of those taxpayer dollars, Jared Bernstein on the Biden economic team doesn't seem to think it's going to matter that we're going to lose 1.4 million jobs by 2025 if Biden gets his way on minimum wage. Honestly, where did he get his economic team? I'm pointing out the hypocrisy, the insanity of all of it right after this. 1.4 million jobs. And yet no one on the left seems to care. I mean, the left that goes on and on about how we need job creation. Then when they're confronted with the reality from the CBO report that they're going to lose 1.4 million jobs by 2025 if they go through with this plan. Well, suddenly, you know, they're completely blasé about it. They just brush it off. Listen to what Jared Bernstein, he's one of the members of the National Economic Council. Listen to what he had to say on a recent interview. He said, quote, when asked about the 1.4 million job losses, he goes, you know, the part that you're leaving out, by far the most important number in that study is that 27 million people get a wage increase by raising the minimum wage to $15 by 2025. Okay, great, great. Everybody's going to get a wage increase. That's if you're actually working, because there aren't going to be as many jobs, Jared, right? Because our economy will suffer. All these small businesses right now that are barely hanging on, just hanging on by a thread. And you're going to turn around and say, hey, you got to pay your workers double? I mean, it just doesn't work. Think about the small pizzeria. The Wall Street Journal had a great op-ed by the pizzeria owner the other day. And she was writing that, look, I love Biden. He comes and eats pizza at my restaurant all the time. But she said there's a real disconnect because he ought to know how hard it is. And the reality is I can't afford to pay people $15 an hour. So that's going to be echoed throughout the country, and we will lose jobs. 1.4 million of them, according to the CBO. And you know what? The economic team there for President Biden, they don't want to hear this. And so they just ignore it. And you can't do that. I mean, economics is a science, and there are things that can be charted out and plotted out. And when you're trying to achieve maximum employment, when you're trying to achieve a better economy, you don't go around hiking minimum wage. Make sure you sign up for the podcast if you haven't already. Make sure you go to trishaintel.com. You can sign up for my regular emails there. It is so important that all voices are heard right now. It is so important that you and I have this direct connection, right? Because they're trying their darndest, whether it be big tech or big government, to make sure that some voices are not heard. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you online at trishaintel.com.